Hello there. So it's like 12:12 on a Thursday morning, early Thursday morning. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do a podcast. Now, this isn't going to be a long one. We're going to go over a lot of stuff in probably somewhere between 10 to 20 minutes. But we've got some stuff to go over because I want to get back on this podcasting train. That's the deal. So without further ado, welcome to the JMRA podcast. I am your humbled host, Joe Montana's right arm. We have some great stuff to get to you over the next few minutes, including some news and notes, some rehashing of Monday night's events, as awful as they were, and also we're going to get into the game on Thursday night. As some of you may be listening to this, it'll either be hours before, maybe, hey, if you get to it on Friday, you'll hear something, maybe a little foreshadowing for what is to come on Friday. We'll also go over the rest of the week two slate, take a look at some games of the week, and our top five, bottom five here on the JMRA podcast. So let's get into it and start with news and notes. Okay, this has been a nightmare week for the New York Giants. Amidst all of this stuff with Jason Pierre-Paul and how many fingers the guy has after he had that crazy firecracker incident over the summer where he blows off a part of his hand. Here comes Eli and Rashad Jennings. If you did not hear, Rashad Jennings ended up basically dropping a dime on Eli and saying that Eli Manning told him on Sunday night not to score on first and second down during that game when the Giants were up 23-20, which is amongst the dumbest things I've ever heard any NFL player A, admit to, and B, having actually been instructed to do. The fact that Eli Manning told him to do that is just remarkable. Like, dude, it would be a 10-point game with, like, around 90 seconds left. So, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, that was crazy to me. So, even if he scores on first down, it's still a 10-point game with 2 minutes left. What is Dallas going to do? It was just foolish. Anyhow, Jennings apologized to Manning in the New York Post on Wednesday. In fact, if you go to joemontanasrightarm.com, you can see that Eli made the cover of the New York Post wearing a dunce cap, and the headline that is on there states $84 million dope in reference to the new contract he signed. So the Giants obviously have their work cut out for them. They will see the Atlanta Falcons coming up this Sunday in MetLife Stadium. Elsewhere, the Texans are going to start Ryan Mallett on Sunday against Carolina. Does it matter? Probably not. They're probably going to lose anyways. Speaking of the Texans, they traded Keyshawn Martin, a wide receiver, fourth-round pick from a few years ago, to the New England Patriots. So that will help fortify, at least in some sort of attempt, the New England Patriots receiving corps, because that is shorthanded to say the least. It's Danny Amendola, it's Julian Edelman, and it's also at the moment Aaron Dobson. That's really those are the only three receivers they have until Brandon LaFell comes off of the PUP list coming down the line. I think he comes off week 8, so that is something to keep in mind. And for the big news story of Wednesday, we will keep it in New England.
I did it a little bit half-heartedly, but I do mean it to a large extent. We have a country where to assimilate, you have to speak English. And I think that where he was and the way it came out didn't sound right to me.
Tom Brady threw his support behind Donald Trump in the presidential election. Now, you may not have caught wind of this, but Brady had a hat in his locker room that stated, "Making America Great Again." It was the hat that Donald Trump has been wearing all over the country or whatever. So Brady has that in his locker. Reporters talked to him about it today. He said it would be great if Donald Trump became president. He didn't really want to get too much into what Trump was going to do in the presidential debate that was held on Wednesday night, but obviously a fan. So Brady, as if he couldn't get America against him even more, now is throwing his support behind Donald Trump. Oh boy. Okay, let's do some cleanup here with the games on Monday night. Two games on Monday night, the Philadelphia Eagles losing to the Atlanta Falcons 26-24 in the sham of the week. Well, not the sham of the week. That was the Giants-Cowboys affair. But certainly one of the more bizarre games of the week. The Falcons go up 20-3 in the first half and then blow that lead, and the Eagles rally all the way back, take a lead, only that the Falcons charge back and take a lead 26-24. Cody Parkey misses a 44-yard field goal to ostensibly keep the Eagles out of the lead, and then from there, a drive later for Philly, they have a chance to go back down the field and kick a game-winning field goal again, and Sam Bradford is intercepted. So it was a complete mess for the Eagles in the first half of that game, and then late as they lose 26-24. I mean, is it a big deal? Sort of, because you see some things that could be an issue for the Eagles down the line. I am not significantly worried yet because, number one, I think the Falcons are a playoff team, so I don't think that's the worst loss in the world at all on the road in Atlanta. So, you know, you live with it. You can't win them all. Eagles will be back on Sunday against the Cowboys. Meanwhile, part two of that Monday night doubleheader, a horrific game between the Niners and Vikings that saw San Francisco behind over 150 yards rushing from Carlos Hyde and a couple of touchdowns, subdue the Minnesota Vikings. They got to do some of these the second game of this Monday night doubleheader. That was the pits. I know it's ratings and all that good stuff, but my goodness, that was the dregs to watch that game on Monday night. Speaking of low-quality, low-level football, it's time to talk about Thursday night football. If you know anything about the Twitter account that I have, Joe M's Right Arm Twitter, check it out. I hate Thursday night football. I think it's not great for the sport because it's bad football. It's teams that aren't fully prepared to play days after playing an NFL game on Sunday. It's just crazy to me. But what we have coming up tonight is the Denver Broncos taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. That one taking place at Arrowhead. The Chiefs were swept by the Broncos last season. Chiefs enter this one, I believe they're like a 3.5-point favorite. Look, the overriding storyline coming into this game to me is Peyton Manning and whether or not this is the end for Peyton Manning, because we're starting to go down the hole with him. I've been watching football, I guess, right regularly since 1989. And even if you go back further and study some of the legends like Johnny Unitas, Joe Namath, guys like that, and then advancing to modern times, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, Steve Young, Brett Favre, it normally doesn't end well for the great ones. What's your last image of Dan Marino? Getting firebombed in the playoffs by Jacksonville 62-7. Your last memory of Brett Favre is him lying on the field, almost motionless, after getting KO'd by the Bears, I believe in 2010. Aikman has to retire because of concussions. Young has to retire because of a concussion. Joe Namath was last seen in the NFL wearing a Los Angeles Rams jersey, which is just weird. So it doesn't end well for these guys, and I think that's where we're headed with Peyton Manning. Manning, 24-40, 175 yards, and an interception on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, a passer rating of 59.9. If you attach that performance to Tony Romo or another guy who is a polarizing figure, they get killed. And because it's Peyton, he hasn't been given a free pass. I'm not going to say that because obviously some people are starting to say this is the end of the line for him. But it's not good. If this isn't the end of the line, boy, I'm not sure I want to see the end of the line. That was bad on Sunday. That was bad. And it looked like kind of a more subtle version of his playoff loss to the Colts. Can't connect on the deep throws. Timing is off. Like he just looks like he's not comfortable in the offense. And he just looks like a guy who has hit the end of the line. Maybe he wins Thursday night. I don't think they will. I think Kansas City will be able to put up enough points to grab a victory. I think it's going to be another low-scoring game. But I just don't see this Denver team being able, if this is what Peyton is, what's he going to look like in November and December. Ugh. I would not want to be a Broncos fan right now. When you look at the future of this team, and it almost to me looks like they were built to be around and of use for another quarterback not named Peyton Manning. I think there's all kinds of conspiracies with what's happening in Denver in that relationship. So it's just weird to me that they brought him back and they have him running this offense that doesn't fit his skill set, like he's scrambling and trying to throw on the run. He doesn't do that stuff. That's not him. He is a classic pocket passer, period. And I think he's going down on Thursday night. Time to take a look at week two in the National Football League. So we have a few games underlined here as games of the week. New England at Buffalo. Going to be a tremendous contest. Rex Ryan and that rock-solid Bills defense against Brady and the Pats. New England got tested a little bit in the Thursday night opener against Pittsburgh. Very worried about that defense. Don't think it's very good on New England's end. So they will have some challenges to face in terms of dealing with that Buffalo Bills offense led by Tyrod Taylor. Hey, they got some good players on that offense. Don't sleep on the Bills, though. Elsewhere, our other game of the week, Dallas at Philadelphia. Eagles lose this game. They drop to 0-2. And I got to tell you, if the Eagles drop to 0-2, I love Philadelphia. I love the area. There will be people jumping off the bandwagon faster than you can say Chip Kelly. They will be bailing at 0-2 if that 0-2 is courtesy of the Dez Bryant-less Dallas Cowboys. They will be jumping off the bandwagon in mass if the Eagles lose that game on Sunday. I don't think the Eagles will. I think they'll find a way. I think the Dez Bryant thing's going to be a little bit of an issue for the Cowboys, especially in the first few weeks without him. So those are the two marquee games of the week, along with, of course, Seattle at Green Bay. If you had a chance to check out the blog, you may have seen the story about Marshawn Lynch's mom. Marshawn Lynch's mom wants to get Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, fired. Thinks he's a terrible play caller. Called him the worst offensive coordinator in history because he was so bad. Of course, Bevel's the guy who pulled the trigger on the ill-fated throw in the Super Bowl that got intercepted by Malcolm Butler. So a lot of ill will in that regard towards Bevell. But you look at that game, it's huge for Seattle. You don't want to drop to 0-2. For Green Bay, a lot of revenge. The issue with that game, if you're a Packers fan, is the Packers have not played well, obviously, against Seattle. Even in that game, in the NFC title game, you know, they had four interceptions of Russell Wilson, but they couldn't score in the red zone. They made a lot of bad decisions from a play-calling perspective, and they kind of willed themselves to lose that game. Certainly, Seattle did a lot to win it, but you have to credit Green Bay for doing just enough not to win the NFC Championship game. And that's pretty much what the deal was. I mean, you look at it now, personnel has changed a lot, no Cam Chancellor. So I think Green Bay has a shot to grab the W on Sunday, but they will need to play a lot better than what they have the last few times they have been in Seattle. The other games in week two, Houston at Carolina, Arizona at Chicago, another blasé blah game. That'll be cool to see Arizona go to 2-0 potentially. San Diego at Cincinnati. The new flavor of the month in the NFL, Marcus Mariota, he and Tennessee will be in Cleveland to take on the Browns. So it will be Mariota versus Johnny Manziel. Is that what we're getting on Sunday? Oh, my heavens. Detroit at Minnesota. Tampa, after that wretched performance against Tennessee in week one, on the road against New Orleans. Atlanta at the Giants as the Giants try to recover from that brutal loss on Sunday. San Francisco at Pittsburgh, St. Louis at Washington. The Rams are going to go to 2-0, you would think. That's a test game for the Rams. The Rams win that one. I don't know if it means they're for real, but one of the issues with teams like the Rams is that they lose to the teams that they should beat. And that is definitely a winnable game for the Rams on Sunday. Miami at Jacksonville. Oh, my God. Miami's going to run up 6 or 7 wins here in the first 8 games. It's going to be gross. They didn't play well at all on Sunday against Washington, got away with the win. Baltimore at Oakland in the battle of 0-1s. And as we talked about, Dallas at Philly and Seattle at Green Bay. Now, a segment to close the show. Top five, bottom five. We take a look at the top five teams in the NFL and the bottom five teams in the National Football League. Top five after week one. Number five, the Arizona Cardinals. That Kangol hat by Bruce Arians. I mean, that's enough for me. Pretty much. Carson Palmer playing well, too. They're in at number five. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. I'm all on board, man, with Rex Ryan. I love Rex Ryan as a defensive coach. If he can get something out of this offense, that might be the legit playoff team in the AFC that maybe steals that spot that everyone has, you know, Miami getting at like 10-6 or 11-5 or whatever nonsense people are spewing about the Dolphins. Number three. I still like Seattle. I'm still stuck on Seattle. I think Seattle just has, they still have Super Bowl brain. And until they get rid of the Super Bowl brain, then they're going to have some problems. But they've got to put things together here on Sunday against Green Bay. But I still, the Seattle's a great team. It's just a matter of them getting out of their own way. Number two, New England. Brady looks great. The issue you have with the Patriots is that defense, whether or not they can get stops on people. It certainly did not look like it on Thursday, and that's going to be a major problem for them later on in the season. So they've got to get some consistency sealed up with that cornerback situation and also in the defensive backfield as a whole. Just not a good performance by the Patriots in week one defensively. And number one, the Green Bay Packers. September's team of choice, I feel. I think the Packers are going to come out strong here. Got a lot to prove this season after embarrassing themselves in the NFC Championship game. So I look for them to potentially beat Seattle on Sunday and really, at least early on, be the NFC team of note as we get to the halfway point of the season here later down the line. Bottom five, I mean, we're not going to spend a lot of time on these teams because, quite honestly, they stink. Oakland, dreadful performance. The grossest performance of the week. It was worse than Tampa. And the reason I say it was worse than Tampa, at least Tampa has a rookie quarterback. So you can just kind of throw it away and say, well, you know, we have a young guy, first start, all that stuff. It's easy to explain. Oakland, they have veterans on that team. And they played like trash against Cincinnati. That's not the 1988 Cincinnati Bengals there, boys and girls. That's the Andy Dalton Bengals, making Tyler Eifert look like Kellen Winslow Jr. in that game. So Oakland is in the cellar, followed by Tampa, Cleveland, who was brutal against the Jets in the loss, Jacksonville, and then Houston with their myriad of quarterback problems. So, a reminder, the JMRA podcast is up and running this season. We'll be back again on Monday to give you the 10-minute recap of all that was in the National Football League in Week 2. You can check us out at joemontanasrightarm.com. Also on Twitter, at @JoeMsRightArm. And Tumblr. The Tumblr, For some reason, I changed the Tumblr name away from Joe Montana's Right Arm because I had delusions of doing random things with that blog, like, you know, non-related sports stuff. But it's okay. It's mostly football stuff. That's why it's called ilikefootballandstuff.tumblr.com. So check it out. Fun stuff on there. And yeah, we'll talk to you again on Monday. I'm going to go get some rest. Enjoy week 2, everybody.